Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 68 for October 19th, 2008, using Wikipedia. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys and by GoToMeeting. Online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/monkeys. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, episode 68 in the continuing saga of parenting in the digital age. How you do it, and in my case, how you don't do it.
You do it. Come on.
I do it, but I don't do it well. Megan Maroney is here. Hello, Megan.
Hello. We all feel like we don't do it well sometimes, don't we?
That's why I don't mind like telling everybody what a lousy dad I am.
Yeah.
Because I figure it makes everybody else feel better.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel, too.
You're a great mom. You're one of the best moms I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
All the moms of kids my children have bitten over the years would probably disagree.
Our kids bit. That's not your fault. You can't. What are you going to do? Muzzle them?
Mm-hmm. Leave them at home?
No.
Not be.
It's normal.
Checking your email at the park.
Is that?
No, I don't do that.
No, you don't do that.
No, I don't do that.
I do that. That's because I'm a bad parent.
Well, you don't go to the park anymore.
So... No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, I do to see if Henry's hanging out with his friends getting stoned.
Do you want to go there or not go there?
I might go there.
Okay. Well, before you go there, let me tell people
what
we're
going
to talk about today. Today we're going to talk to Phoebe Ayers, who is a librarian and author, one of the authors of the new book from No Starch Press, a division of O'Reilly, called How Wikipedia Works. And Phoebe is frequent and has been contributing to Wikipedia for ages. And so I asked her if she would be willing to talk about how parents can teach kids to use Wikipedia wisely.
I think that's a very good subject. You know, it kind of irks me because you hear this all the time in schools. You're not allowed to use Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use it at all. Not even like a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wikipedia is such a great resource, as long as you understand, and then maybe this is why teachers don't use it. I think teachers are Luddites sometimes, and they just say, no, right. We're not going to use it because you can't. But I think this is the kind of thing you have to teach kids.
Yes.
How to use internet resources, mm-hmm. how to... use it critically, intelligently, appropriately.
Right, exactly.
So Phoebe will explain this to
us. I think so, yeah, I think so.
Unless she says don't.
I don't think she will say that.
I hope not.
So, you know, we're going to hear from you guys. I've got some emails to read at the end of the show. We got our spend, save, give. We got a book pick. Where do you want to start?
We got a busy show. Why don't we start with spend, save, give, and then we'll get Phoebe on the line.
Okay. First, I want to remind people to call us 707.
Oh, please do.
981-4602. We want to hear from you.
You know what's a great tragedy? We will not have any calls on
today's
show. We
have no good calls.
Good. We have none.
I'd
play a bad one at this point.
I was going to keep that under wraps, but, you know, I guess we really can't.
No. Can we? We got plenty of emails, but call us. Now, it's not toll-free. It's a long-distance call. Maybe that's what's discouraging people. 707-981-4602. But you could go to Megan's site, jumpingmonkeys.com.
And click on Call Me and enter your phone number. And then it will call you, and you'll hear our message, and you'll leave a message for us. Leave us tips, leave us suggestions, things you like about the show, whatever. All right, now each week on the show, we talk about one way you can spend your money, one way you can save your money, and one way to give back. And we'll start with the spend, and this is the Boone Squirt.
Ah!
The Boone Squirt.
What the heck is a Boone Squirt?
I hoped you were going to ask me what a Boone Squirt is. Boone is a company that does all kinds of interesting little things for babies. And they have like these frogs that stick on the wall of your your bathroom wall to put all the toys in, and your bath toys, all things like that. And they have this new spoon that contains the baby food inside it.
Okay, let me wait a minute. Conceptually, this is difficult for me because
go to BooneInc.com.
B-O-O-N-E.
Search Google for Boone Squirt. B-O-O-N.
It's funny because the first thing I got drunk on was Boone's Farm.
Yeah. Mm, Strawberry Hill.
Yeah. You too?
Me too.
No.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say. I don't know. My parents watched this show, Leo.
I was 16.
I was 22.
16. And now this is happening again. So, okay. So Boone Squirt is B-O-O-N.
Yeah. Boone.
.com?
BooneInc.com.
I-N-C dot mm-hmm. C-O-M.
And then products squirt. I don't know if it'll be on the front page of Boone.
Boy, if I made something called Boone Squirt, I'd put that right on the front page. I sure would.
So it's a spoon, and you open up the back.
Look at, they got the bug pod.
Yeah, the pod. That's the thing that you put the bath toys in. Maybe you should just search Google for Boone Squirt, or look at the show notes I sent you, which has the direct link. Why do I even bother?
Why do you even bother?
So while you're looking for the Boone Squirt, I'll tell you that
they make a lot of stuff.
They do, and they're a parent-owned company.
Wow.
So it's a spoon. You open up the back. You put the food in, and then you just squeeze it or squirt it, and then it comes out on the spoon, and they eat it, so you don't have to like keep dipping the spoon in and everything.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Although I like there's that little thing you do. Do parents today still do the little thing you do?
The airplane?
Yeah, well, the airplane for sure. That was good. But no, you know when you dip it in the baby food.
Uh-huh.
And then you do the little wipe, wipe, wipe on the bottom of the spoon because you just want to have the top. And then you give it to the kid and they get it all over their face. And
then you
go wipe,
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 the
wipe
sides, yes.
With the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all clean. And then you do it again.
Right.
And I like
exactly.
that process.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, the squirt, I might not enjoy that as much.
Well, here's the other advantage of the squirt.
You could put it in a baby bag.
Yes. Couldn't you do that with any spoon?
I guess you could.
But I don't know if you remember from your baby food feeding days, but if they don't finish the jar, you're supposed to throw it away.
You are?
Because their saliva gets on it.
Yeah,
you stick the spoon in there.
No,
and
it's
then
not, it's not sanitary.
Yeah. And so, you know, especially if you're making your own food and putting in a big container or something. So this is nice. You just put it in the back and then you don't waste a bunch.
And you know what they say on, first of all.
Did you find the Boone Squirt?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's BPA-free, phthalate-free, and PVC-free.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing that I think is really important. It makes one-handed feeding a snap.
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing with the other hand?
Holding the baby.
Oh, okay. I thought they were in a high chair.
You're checking your BlackBerry,
that's
of course. What do you think you're doing?
You're checking your BlackBerry. This is for modern people who are checking their BlackBerry. They're going, here, baby. Let me just, oh yeah, hold on. I got another one from the...
Yes. So one-handed. Whether holding your baby or checking.
In my day, we used both hands to feed the baby and we were happy.
What if you have twins?
Well, that's another matter.
Mm-hmm. That is another matter.
Would you have two squirts?
I would have two squirts. I do have two squirts.
Are you a two-fisted squirter?
So, the Boone Squirt. BooneInc.com products squirt. Ready for save?
I sure am.
I'm just enjoying. Last week, you know, what did we talk? Naughty codes and stinky kids, Boone Squirts. And this one is a boring URL. It's bookclosouts.com.
No, this is not boring.
It's not boring. It's not a boring content, but the URL itself is not as boring.
Okay. Well, it's very, but it's easy to remember.
But so this is cool. They have a kids section at bookclosouts.com. Have you ever used bookclosouts.com?
No. So,
you know, remainders are those books that they mark. They didn't sell them.
Mine.
What?
Yeah. Am I right straight to the remainder?
You should look at bookclosouts.com
see how many they have. Wait a minute. Now I got to see. Leo Laporte. Oh, it will be so depressing.
So they have a kids section that has a lot of really good deals on kids' books.
Oh, my books are not there.
They're not there,
no.
See? Because you sold them all.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones I didn't sell, they're upstairs in the closet.
So bookclosouts.com, and they have a lot of my favorite authors, and books are really marked down. You know, a lot of the remainder kids' books are not always that good, but here you can search, you know, for what you want.
And what you're really seeing is kind of a gallery of kind of sadness.
Remainders are a little sad.
There's your people who worked their butts off to make a book.
And then you're paying 99 cents for it.
And people just didn't, like, here's 50 cents. 50 by 50, 50 cent in his own words. And you know what the cost is? It's interesting. It's 50 cents. seven habits of highly effective teens. No.
Well, that's not, sometimes it's the, like they change the cover or something.
It could be.
Or like,
oh, here's Abby version. In The Big Race. This was good. Andy Cutbill. I like that. Angela's Ashes. See, that's a great book.
Right.
So you're probably right. They got extras or whatever. Mm-hmm. $5.99 instead of $14.95.
But this is a good place to go for, like, you know, getting a bunch of kids' books for birthday presents.
Oh, what a good idea.
Because kids' books can be, hardcover kids' books can be sort of expensive. They can be over $20 sometimes.
See, some of these are flops.
Some of them are, but that's why you can use.
Here's one.
The search.
This is The Blade of Kringle, Manga Claws. It's a manga comic book, children's fiction of, I guess, a killer Santa Claus. He's got two swords in his hand.
Santa Claus in the book closeouts?
Yes.
Shocked.
I think this was probably, I don't know, maybe a flop? Children's fiction, would you buy that for your kids?
I don't know. Mm-mm. Maybe it just didn't get promoted right in the right way.
Yeah. Actually, I don't want Manga Claws coming after me. So
Manga Claws. Love it.
It's kind of fun to browse through here.
Yeah.
There's actually some good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All righty. Are you ready to give?
Yeah. Well, here's a good one. Cannibal, The History of the People Eaters. This was another book. Didn't sell too well.
Okay. Now we're down to...
that's only $1.99.
Well, yeah. You'd buy Manga Claws for $1.99, wouldn't you? Just as a conversation piece?
Let's just go back up here and see. See, Fitty by Fitty was $35. Now, see, some of these, they have like 46 left. You know, they have 38 left. There's, you know, Imperial Trader, 5 left. Fitty by Fitty, 7,403 left. I'm thinking it's a flop.
Yeah. You could read that for your Twit book club.
Fitty by Fitty.
Yeah. Aren't there
and
about 7,000 people?
I popped a cap up it. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So now we're to the give.
Give.
I know I talk about t-shirts a lot, but these are t-shirts for kids or adults. We've actually talked about Tiny Revolutionary before. They have they had a t-shirt called This Shirt Saves a Life, saved a life, and you could get it, and it actually saved a life because they gave like a year's worth of food to Africa. But they have a whole new line of giving tees.
From Tiny Revolutionary. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
I'm a fan of the No Guitar Left Behind t-shirt. It supports a charity that introduces music education to low-income kids.
This is great.
So they are really cute. Yeah.
And $10 per tee is donated to Rock for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the tees are a little pricier. They're $36.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, what a great feeling. This would be a good gift.
Right.
Because... you could say to the, you know, the kid who got it, mm-hmm. and by the way, you made a donation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah. So
what
that's tinyrevolutionary.com. They have shirts.
They got onesies.
They've got bags. They've got all kinds of stuff.
Be the change.
Yes.
Oh, Gandhi tea. Be the change you want to see in the world for babies or toddlers.
Yeah. And they have, I think they have adult shirts. I know that This Shirt Saved a Life. They have that in adult. And they're each numbered, so you know.
Look at this. A child without courage is like a night without stars. And, you know, the pictures of the kids wearing these are just adorable.
They are.
All babies are created. I do. Drive a hybrid. That's a funny one. Save some green for me. Drive a hybrid. Soldier of Love camo tee. This is for the children of hippies.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. TinyRevolutionary.com?
TinyRevolutionary.com.
Very good.
So, next, I think we're going to talk to Phoebe
Before we
Ayers.
Do that, may I mention GoToMeeting? Would you mind if I snuck that in?
I wouldn't mind.
I would like to sneak that in. Mm-hmm. These are great people. They've done a good job supporting our show, and we want to thank them for doing that. GoToMeeting. I actually have been doing ads for GoToMeeting since I started the radio show in 2004, so a long time with this company, and I love this product. I use it all the time. We used it the other day. I was rehearsing a speech. This is the idea, just so you understand what we're talking about here, is you'll install it on your system. It takes about 2 minutes to install, very quick, Windows or Mac, and then the next time you're on a conference call and everybody's falling asleep, which happens if you've ever done a conference call, pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. Or somebody like Megan's playing Tetris on her Centro.
Yeah, actually, I fold laundry. That's what I usually do.
See? And you know, because they're not there. So you say, I need to engage these people in this conference call. Or maybe you've got one coming up and you know ahead of time, I have something I want to show them, a PowerPoint, or there's documents, drawings, whatever. So you set this up ahead of time, click of the mouse, and Outlook sends them an invitation. They can click, or you just say, hey, you know, I could tell you're folding laundry, but I want to show you this.
They can never tell I'm folding laundry.
They can't tell.
Well, if they listen to this, they could tell.
Now they know.
I don't think they do.
No, I would never say, I could tell you're sorting socks. But you could say, you know, hey, let me make this more engaging, more interesting for you. Go to gotomeeting.com. So they do that. And they say, and I just enter in this meeting ID, 13789. They do it. And all of a sudden, they're seeing your computer, like you're there on their screen. And so they can see, you know, the documents you're showing them. You could show them something in real-time PowerPoint. You could show them video. It's completely secure, and you pay one low, flat monthly rate. So, you know, you don't have to watch how many meetings you've had or how long they're going. You really can use it whenever you need it. Online meetings made easy. Try it free for 30 days. Go to gotomeeting.com/monkeys.
Totally free for 1 month?
Yeah, a month of unlimited. Hey, you know, would I give you, you know, like, half free.
So do they have different rates for like businesses and individuals?
They have a single rate. It's very affordable. You could do it. Mm. I know a lot of people like you who are working at home who do this, and it makes you really appear more professional.
Right.
It's a great way to collaborate. I know you do a lot of collaboration. I do too. Mm-hmm. gotomeeting.com/monkeys. Try it free for a month. They have various levels, I think, for business. But I know I don't pay very much. It's very affordable. gotomeeting.com/monkeys, and we thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys. You want to talk to Phoebe?
I do want to talk to Phoebe.
I want to talk to Phoebe. She says, hi, I'm Phoebe Ayers.
She is.
Hi, I'm Phoebe Ayers.
Is she on yet?
She's ringing.
Excellent. Phoebe is one of the authors of How Wikipedia Works, and she's a librarian and a frequent contributor to many aspects of Wikipedia. And we invited her on today to talk about how parents can help their kids use Wikipedia more wisely.
Keep stalling.
And I am very excited to talk to Phoebe and ask her several questions I have.
Hi.
Megan almost started asking her questions. Hi, Phoebe. How are you? Leo Laporte and Megan Maroney.
I'm great.
Welcome
Thanks.
To
how are you?
The show. We're well, and obviously, we were 3 minutes late. You decided you were going to go make dinner.
I did not. I just got home from work, though.
Oh, well, we're glad you could be on. Thank you for joining us today.
Of course.
So, are you a Wikipedia editor?
I am an editor. I've been an editor for many years at this point.
What prompted you to get started in all that?
Well, I discovered the site the way many people do, I think, just browsing around. And I found some pages that I was interested in and discovered that I could edit them. And from there, it just seemed like a natural fit. I love encyclopedias. And I just sort of fell into it and started editing more and more and then became involved in the community behind the site.
Did you always stick with one particular subject, or would you be a gadfly and move around? Or
I'm more of a gadfly. I'm interested in lots of things. I started writing about jewelry originally, which was something that I did as a hobby, and then I would write about things that I was interested in from work or from school, science topics, library topics. But really, at this point, I'm mostly a gadfly. I work on cleaning up articles, kind of behind the scenes work, really trying to get articles put together and presentable.
So your book with No Starch is How Wikipedia Works. So it's partly about that side of it, if you want to participate in Wikipedia, but also, and this is what's of interest to our audience, I think, well, maybe both are, but how to use Wikipedia appropriately.
Right. Yes. The whole first part of the book, it's in four parts, and the whole first part is really geared for readers of Wikipedia, how to find interesting articles, which, I mean, anyone can do just by hitting the random button, right? But how to really browse the site most effectively, and then how to evaluate an article that you find there, which I think is really, really important and isn't actually documented on Wikipedia very well. So once you have a page, how do you find out who wrote it? How do you judge its quality? So I really tried to focus on that side of it, as well as then actually editing it and becoming part of the community.
How do you find out who wrote it?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. Megan said, I'm sorry, I got to turn her off. How do you find out who wrote it?
Well, on every page, if you look at a Wikipedia article or any page, really, there's a history tab that's next to edit. And in that history, there's a record of every single person who's touched the page from day one. So every version of every Wikipedia article is actually kept. When you change an article, when you edit a page, you're not taking away that old version. It's still there, which is how people revert vandalism. It's how people do away with bad edits, is they can always go back to a previous version. But it's also how you as a reader can understand how a page was put together and who wrote it. Obviously, most of the time, those people are going to be anonymous or operating under pseudonyms, but you can still kind of get a sense of their contributions, whether their writing was good, whether they referenced their facts, whether they've vandalized other pages or made good contributions to other pages, and so on.
That's relevant, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Have they vandalized other pages? Wow.
Yeah, sure, and you can see that. So
that's to keep you from using something that's intentionally wrong.
Right. I mean, every Wikipedia page really operates in context. And, people talk about quality and knowing whether you can really trust the information you find on Wikipedia. And it's true that you need to watch out for quality and need to back up the research that you do on the site with other sources. But there are clues. There are clues in every page as to how high quality it is and whether you should really tend to believe the information that you're reading. Mm-hmm.
So vandalism is a term that you're using that I'm not quite sure. Is it? Is that just like right out and out you've proven it's wrong versus like what about people who are updating a page on like Obama or something and someone has a different opinion of something? That's not necessarily vandalism, right?
No, that's different. Yeah. Most vandalism
is going on my page and saying I used to work, I posed for Hustler magazine.
Which somebody did.
Right. Well, when I use the term vandalism, I tend to mean actually even more blatant stuff than that, really kind of juvenile, like graffiti.
Oh,
like
if you
go in and blank the page or you say, Obama is terrible, period, and save it.
Right.
That's what I would call vandalism.
Okay.
The other things are a little more subtle. And Wikipedia tries to keep that in check with policies, right? With a neutrality policy and a referencing policy, verifiability policy.
I think Wikipedia does a fantastic job, but I think a lot of educators, whether out of ignorance or maybe out of a kind of old school prejudice, forbid students from using Wikipedia.
Right. There's been a few cases of that, although it's not quite as widespread as has been made out, actually. But we actually address that in the book. In the end, there's a section, an appendix, geared specifically for teachers. And some of the things we list in there are some pages that are actually on the site itself, both listing tips for teachers about how to use the site effectively, how to teach it. Wikipedia is a great resource for teaching critical thinking skills for kids and teaching how to do research, how to think about the information you find online. And we also list a page, though, of projects by teachers who have really accepted the site into their curriculum and have actually started using it in their classes. So maybe assigning groups of students to write articles, for instance, or assigning groups of students to evaluate articles. So there's actually been a lot of those projects, mostly in colleges and universities, but also in high schools.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of like actually assigning kids to edit it. That's a great. Yeah, that would be like seeing their research actually live on the internet.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you can handle teaching them about the site policies, because of course any kid or any adult who goes onto Wikipedia to edit is going to be treated just like any other person by all the rest of the editors. You know, there's no special consideration given to students.
Right.
So you do have to be a little careful that they don't, you know, get in fights with other people or anything online.
Yeah, that could kind of ruin the experience, couldn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're a librarian. Do you know, are there a lot of librarians who are suspicious of Wikipedia?
There are. There's a lot of librarians who have reserved judgment over the past few years as the site has gotten bigger and bigger. And there's a lot of librarians, I think, who are curious. I think as a profession, our main concern is collecting information and making sure that people get the information they need, right? And so one thing about Wikipedia, every librarian I know says about Wikipedia is it's great as a starting place, but then you need to go on to other sources.
That's kind of what I would say. I think when I tell my kids, use it, never assume anything you read on it is true, but that's true of any page on the web. And frankly, nowadays, it's true of anything.
And
use it as a starting point, as a place to begin your research, for links to other things. Don't just stop at Wikipedia. Do you think that's good advice?
I think that is great advice. And I also think it depends a little bit on what you're doing. You know, if you're trying to settle an argument among friends.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know, then it's fine, right?
I'm talking about using it for schoolwork. Exactly.
Yeah. Going for schoolwork, then absolutely, like, go out and find other sources.
I have to say, though, when I use Wikipedia, I frequently use Wikipedia and just, while I'm here, sitting here, doing a show, I'll look up something quickly, and you can trust it. For the most part, I find it very reliable, and I will often use it as an authoritative source. Am I wrong? Is there something wrong with that?
I think that you just have to be careful, and I think that you especially need to double check anything that could be controversial. You know, if you look up a famous person, Wikipedia says that they recently died. You know, you might want to double check that, or double check the history and make sure that somebody didn't just add it and it got changed back a minute later. But if it's generally that you're trying to get an idea of a project, I use it for computing languages a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I do a lot of computer science research. There's always new projects and new languages coming up that I don't know what are. Wikipedia is great for that.
I find clicking the discussion link, which is at the top of every page, is often really interesting and very valuable.
We spend a lot of time in the book both describing discussion pages and giving some tips for interacting on them.
What is the discussion page? What am I seeing when I go there?
Well, it's a place that's really meant for discussing the content of the article. So not the topic in general, but the content of that particular page. So it's a place where editors will go to say, you know, should we do this to the page? Should we do that? This needs to be cleaned up. This needs to be rewritten. It's really a place where you can see Wikipedia content being written and being developed.
And on a controversial subject, if, for instance, you were going to go research McCain and Obama, the discussion is extremely valuable. I know when first thing I did, and I bet I'm not alone, when McCain chose Sarah Palin as his running mate, the very first thing that I did is I went to Wikipedia and looked at her article, which was rapidly changing, and then went to the discussion. And the discussion was really the only way to get some sense of balance in that article, to see what the disputed points were, things like that.
Right, yeah. And the discussion page is also a place as a reader where you can post a question. You know, you can say, is there a reference for this point? Mm-hmm. It seems odd, or something like that. So it's pretty valuable.
Yeah, is going to be a good book to get. I think everybody should get this. I'm going to get it for my kids. It's a very important to understand this. And I think Wikipedia is a huge, important thing in education and for adults now as a reference source. It is maybe the most single, most important reference source in the world now, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly the largest.
Is it?
It's by far the largest reference website that ever existed in the largest encyclopedia as a single work.
Is your sense that it's as good as it was when you started?
Oh, it's gotten much better.
It really
has improved over time. I mean, the project was not much to look at when it started in 2001, but it's done nothing but both get larger and improve in quality, I think, over time. So it's incremental. I mean, the entire site is a work in progress.
And always will be.
And yeah, hopefully it always will be.
It's never going to be frozen. This is it. No. It's over. We know all the knowledge there is to know, and we're done. Thanks very much for stopping by.
So is it okay for kids writing a research paper to say, according to Wikipedia?
Oh, there's an interesting question.
Well, you know, partly that's up to their teacher, right? I would say better to cite Wikipedia than take your information from Wikipedia and not cite it.
Well, so in fact, there's a very big, you know, famous case. What was the university? Kid got kicked out for doing that.
For not?
Right.
It was a summer. It was the University of Virginia, which has a very strict honor code. And it was a summer program on a ship. And the kids got kicked out and lost all credit, and by the way, all the money paid for the course, because he cited Wikipedia without giving a citation, which is a violation of the honor code. Are you familiar with that case, Phoebe?
I don't know that story.
I'll look it up and I'll find that information.
On Wikipedia.
Sounds like a plagiarism case.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say cite this website, but also I would encourage, you know, any parent or teacher, somebody trying to help kids do research, to go a bit beyond that. You know, the external links in any article, so the section that says external links and other references, is always a pretty good place to go, because those links get picked out by editors. You know, they're handpicked out of the content on the web, and they're often pretty good resources in their own right. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, depending on the project, depending on the level of the student, Wikipedia is not a bad place to go. It shouldn't be the end of their work, probably.
Mm-hmm. Here's the story. A Ohio University student was ejected from the Semester at Sea program, put ashore in Greece, lost all her money for violating the University of Virginia's single sanction honor code. Allison Routman says she was expelled from UVA. The UVA-sponsored program for plagiarism because of three factual sentence fragments and a paraphrased summary of a movie she looked up on Wikipedia. And the error was, the so-called death penalty was, because she did not cite it.
So she didn't cite Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on every Wikipedia page, there's a link on the left-hand sidebar that says cite this article, and it will give you a beautiful citation APA format or MLA format. It will give you a permanent link to the version of the page.
That's super cool. I've never noticed that. That's great.
So it'll give you the citation to Wikipedia or to wherever they got the citation?
No, to that particular article that you're looking at on Wikipedia, to the particular version of the particular article.
Suitable for pasting into your paper.
Yep, absolutely.
That's actually a very nice little feature. I've never noticed that before. This is why you need to read this book.
Well, we tried to collect all those little tips and tricks about how to use the site. It's really a deceptively complicated website, I think, both because the community behind the site is very complex, very intricate, and because there are all these little features in the interface and features when you're looking at articles that we tried to pull out.
And as you said, you do it in every style: APA, MLA, MHRA, Chicago, Blue Book, Harvard Jolt, AMA, the Bib Text. Big tech entry. That's amazing. Wow.
So your co-authors, are they also librarians?
No, they're not. Charles Matthews is he's a former math professor from Cambridge in England, and he lives in Cambridge. So he's an academic. He's been involved in Wikipedia for a long time as well. His passion is Go, the game of Go.
Oh boy.
and Ben Yates lives in Michigan, and he's a graphic designer.
So did you all meet on Wikipedia?
We did all meet on Wikipedia. I've never met Ben in person, actually. We wrote this book together entirely online. But Charles and I have met a few times. There's an annual conference that the foundation that runs Wikipedia has that is hosted all over the world. And so we've both gone to that several times.
I am a big Wikipedia fan, and I think if anybody wants to know more about how to use it, this book sounds like a really great book. I'm going to run out and get it right away. It's this needed to be written, Phoebe. I thank you for writing it. I think it's a really great thing, and I'm going to give it to my kids because I want them to use Wikipedia. And I've been saying this for a while. This is where education needs to go. It used to be that you got taught how to find stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure, Phoebe, you've seen this change in library mm-hmm. science. It used to be how to find stuff. Now it's easy to find stuff. It's it's critical thinking needed to vet and understand the stuff that you find and whether it's good or bad information. And that's the kind of thing I'm sure that you cover in this book.
So the book is available now?
It is. It's was just published a few weeks ago. It's available online through No Starch Press, their website, hopefully through your favorite bookstore. And so it's ready to go. It's also it's freely licensed. It's licensed under the GFDL license, which is the GNU Free Documentation License. So it's actually available online as well at howwikipediaworks.com.
That's fantastic. I commend you on doing that. That's really great.
Yeah, we wanted to produce a freely licensed work, and we wanted it to be compatible with Wikipedia, which is also under the GFDL license. So we went ahead and took that step.
And congratulations to No Starch for letting you do it.
Yeah, they were very supportive. They were great, actually. They're very supportive of open access and open licensing. So they were really fantastic.
Good. How Wikipedia works and how you can be a part of it. We didn't really cover that second half. But if you want to be a part of the Wikipedia community, nowadays it's such a well-established community, it might be a little intimidating to get involved. This would be probably a good way to start. Read this first.
Well, one thing that we do cover, I should mention, is we cover all the other projects as well as Wikipedia that the Wikimedia Foundation runs.
Oh,
so
man.
Some of those, I think, are very interesting for kids. You know, there's the Commons for Pictures. There's a WikiBooks project with books. Some of those books are children's books. And Wikiversity, which is one of the newest projects, is actually all education-focused. And it has a portal for kids, for young kids, older kids, college students. So some of those projects, they're a little bit smaller, are actually maybe easier places to get started.
Well, you left out my favorite, Wookiepedia.
Yeah. That's not affiliated.
That's a Wikia Wikipedia. So it's affiliated in that sense. It's Wikia. It's not the biggest, though. You know what the biggest Wikia Wikipedia is?
Muppets Wiki.
No, you're close. Oh. Wow Wiki. For people who use World of Warcraft.
Well, they're two totally different organizations. They're not affiliated, but you know.
Well, they're related. Yeah, they're both Jimmy Wales. They're related. It's not the for-profit arm of the Wikipedia Foundation. I just love saying Wookiepedia. I'm sorry. I just had to do that. I'm sorry. It'd be great to talk to you.
You too.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Phoebe Ayers, the book is How Wikipedia Works and How You Can Get Involved, which I think is a good point to make, is that it's not just, you don't have to just consume.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer now in giving back, not just consuming, but participating.
Exactly.
And if you know something, if you have some information.
Do you edit?
You know, I have an account.
Besides just your profile, which I know
you're
always updating.
To. I should have asked her about this because there's a lot of community
mores.
You're not supposed to edit your own.
Yeah.
I think I cut that hustler thing out because it was so. But what you're supposed to do is go to the discussion page and say, hey, Leo Laporte here. I didn't, pose. And could somebody please fix this?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to go in and edit your own. But there's all these little things, and I think people sometimes look at this and go, this is a very well-established community with mores I don't fully understand.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, that's the thing. The other thing I was going to ask her about was, the idea that there's so much on there. Like, why do I have a Wikipedia page? Like, isn't it,
it's a tech TV.
Right. I know. But, there's that idea. Like, should everything really have a Wikipedia page?
No. You got to go to the discussions and see, because they're very frequently very...
Go through and...
Very... In fact, one of the biggest discussions recently on Wikipedia is whether one of the members of the Wikipedia board... should have his own page, and they decided not to.
Mm.
That it merely being on the board was insufficient.
Yeah.
So let me look up Megan Maroney and see if they've ever had that discussion about you.
About me, whether it should be. Oh, well, no, because I'm...
That's a cute picture of you. It's a great picture of you. Isn't it kind of fun that...
That there's people just updating it? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's fun.
That somebody cares enough.
A little weird.
So you go to the discussion and you can see this article is in Within the Scope of Wikipedia Project, Wiki Project Journalism. This is good. In fact, they're telling people this is how it, these are standards it has to adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really great.
It's a good way for people to internet stalk me too. People that I know.
You
know?
I link to my Wikipedia biography on my webpage. It's a better mm-hmm. biography than my own.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Except for the occasional, you know,
vandalism. It's very accurate. Yeah. Like it used to say I was born in 1972, but that was corrected.
Really? Without mm-hmm. your doing anything?
No, without me doing anything. I think I mentioned it maybe on your show or something.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. The other thing, I was recently, I was on a website about, it was dedicated to, safer plastics for kids. You know, it was all the BPA stuff. Mm-hmm. And this website was devoted to that. And, you know, it said, first, let's discuss what BPA is. And it said, according to Wikipedia. And that really turned me off. Like, according to Wikipedia, because it's like, I'm going to this, I've found this source that I want to have their own research and their own information. This is not an accurate, not that it's inaccurate. It's just that I don't, if I wanted to go to Wikipedia, I would have gone to Wikipedia and look it up, but right. I want your information.
You're supposed to be authoritative.
Yeah.
Why are you sending, mm-hmm. why are you citing Wikipedia? On the other hand, what would they cite? A book, right?
Right, I guess, which wouldn't be as accurate.
Necessarily not.
Or I want them to report I want them to...
According to Professor J. Paul Expert.
According to research done at, you know, Johns Hopkins University about, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. But I like Wikipedia, and it is great for solving arguments among friends.
I'm looking at the discussion on my page.
Uh-huh.
And the first item, Leo's a Buddhist? There's some debate over that. Don't blank this page.
Oh, do people blank it?
Yeah. That's interesting. Gizwiz, what does this mean? Criticism, the dispute.
You have a lot of discussion. I don't think I had any discussion.
You didn't, as a matter of fact.
I'm straight up there. No one...
There is somebody who does in fact stalk me and goes around the pages and modifies it, and they caught that on Wikipedia, mm-hmm. and they, I think this is really good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was really interesting. The book How Wikipedia Works, and that's really, I didn't know that it was available at howwikipediaworks.com licensed.
I love that, mm-hmm. and you know, it's a brave thing to do as an author, mm-hmm. and a brave thing as a publisher to say, we're going to give the book away online.
Right.
Because it's a $30 book.
Right. If you're a frequent, if you're a frequent Wikipedia editor, you're always giving your stuff away,
right.
you know?
Right. Cory Doctorow, who gives away all his books, says it does not hurt the sales of his books.
Yeah.
But that may be because the internet is still in its infancy. You know?
True.
I don't, you know, who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. All right. Are you ready to talk about Audible?
Well, if you insist, young lady, I guess I can.
I do actually
I'm a big
insist.
Fan.
Dane insists, actually.
Dane is in charge. He's the guy. Audible, you know what Audible is. Audible.com/monkeys. Is that right or is it? Yeah, it's monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Is the site to go to if you want to get a free audio book from Audible.com. Now, some people may say, why, Leah? Why would I want a free audio book from Audible.com? Maybe they said I could go to the library to get an audio book. Perhaps. Or perhaps I could go somewhere else to get an audiobook. And what I want to say is Audible's simply the best. When I first started listening to audiobooks, I used to get a box of cassettes. Did I ever give you a ride when I still had the boxes
no,
of cassettes?
No. We were already in iPod.
You would get a box. You'd have only 1 month to listen to the book. It'd be cassettes. If one cassette's jammed, yeah, you could mail it back and get a new one. But there you go. You don't know where you're going to go.
Right.
It was a
pain in
the butt.
Or if your kids pulled it out.
Embarrassing. So
expensive.
Yeah, it was much more expensive and you didn't get to keep the book.
Right.
Audible has solved all of those issues. You download a book in just seconds. They use the best readers. They record many of the books themselves. They actually have 9 studios in their corporate headquarters now, so they can make their own copies of these books. And they do a great job. I've heard books sometimes, let's face it, the author is a little dull, not so good. They're reading the book. It's not so great. Never with an audiobook from Audible. They record them right. They sound good. You never have to lose one. And you get to keep it forever. In fact, Audible, I'll show you right here, maintains your library for you of every book you've ever purchased at Audible. And you can go back and you can download it again anytime. I've got 340-some books in my library. If I feel like listening to a book again, it's just like a regular book mm-hmm. that you have on your bookshelf. I can download it again. Plays on any MP3 player, I think, including the Zune now, the Kindle, most GPS devices, if you've already got one in your car. And you just go to the site, and here it is. This is my Audible list, and all of the books I've ever listened to are on here. I could put all 341 books on the page and scroll down through them. It's pretty fun. I really enjoy it. Oh, look, I got a new book. I forgot. I'll have to download that one. Download it in seconds, and it's yours for life. Now, you've got a book to recommend for
I have a pick. It's called Downtown Owl by Chuck Klosterman.
Oh, it sounds like a mystery.
It is not a mystery.
It's not?
It is not a mystery.
Downtown
no.
Owl.
Chuck Klosterman is like, I think he's part of that McSweeney gang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he writes for Spin and Esquire. He has a few memoirs
kind of
about
adult,
music. But
adult kind of a guy. But look who's reading here.
Baker Hall.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
There's several readers,
Val Kilmer,
there?
Keith Nobbs, Wiley Wiggins, Lily Ray. So this is a performance.
It is. Well, it's, yeah, the book is, each chapter is a different point of view. So
Is this a grown-up book or a
kid
book?
It is a grown-up book.
Oh, I thought it was a kid book with a name like Downtown Owl.
No, it is an adult
book. Can we listen to
book.
It a little bit?
We can listen to it a little bit.
How adult is it?
I doubt the clip is. That's not what Audible does.
No. Upcoming death session. He could already feel sweat forming on his back and above his nose and under his crotch.
I told you it was dirty. What is it? What is
he's
it?
He's playing
about?
Football.
Oh, okay.
That's why
he's
there's
got a
sweat
sweaty
on his crotch.
Is it about football?
It's about North Dakota. It's about a small town in North Dakota and a different points of view. And it's about a real snowstorm that really happened at some point. And it's a football player, a history teacher, a football coach, an old guy.
You I can't talk.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'm choked up.
I choke
no,
you up.
You're good at coming. You're so literary. And how do you find these books?
I like books. This one is actually my book club. It
you're
was a choice
so good.
For my book club.
And every
so
book
I was excited
you've ever
that it was on.
By the way, I have you those books. I have to bring them back that you
yeah,
rented
you
me.
Do.
And you can borrow my Kindle
did you read them
now
all?
That you're back. No, I didn't finish them all.
Did you read any? Did you finish any of them?
I didn't finish any of them. I started them all. I always finish books, but I don't finish them in. I always have five or six going at
okay.
once.
Okay.
So I have a bunch going at once.
Okay. Well, why do you want to give them back to me if you haven't finished them?
Don't you need them?
I do want them back at some point, but the depressing one you can give back.
It wasn't that depressing, but it was a little much too much like tech TV. It was like, I don't want to. I don't want to relive
that was
this.
And then we come to the end.
Yeah. That yeah. was a good book, though. And you recommended that. And that was a good book.
I did.
You know what? I'm spoiled. I like to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, that was why I was excited when my book club picked this. I hadn't heard of it. I didn't know. But I get, you know, I have the membership. So it's basically free because I don't think about it anymore. It's not free because it's $12.95 a month or
but
something.
It's worth it.
But it's
so
almost
worth
it's like
it.
Free. And yeah, and I was just like, I didn't have to go to the store, wait on the library
no,
queue,
right
and I
there.
Loved it. It was really good.
And it's more, I think, now, this is a matter of taste, and I'm not going to say everybody's going to feel this way, but I think listening to a book, that I really enjoy it. Maybe it's because I grew up, my parents read to me a lot, or I don't know, but maybe because of all the time I spent commuting in the car. Part of the reason I haven't finished your books, I prefer to listen.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes get tired, I fall asleep, but I could listen to a book for hours, so I'm going to put this on my list. Downtown Owl, a novel by Chuck Klosterman. What else mm-hmm. did he write?
He wrote, it's like called something about Cocoa Puffs in the title.
His name is so familiar.
He also was on ESPN. He was like a sports writer and also a music writer.
That's Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
I don't think I read that, but I think I know his name as a sports writer.
Do you read Esquire?
Yeah.
Do you read Spin?
Yeah.
You read Spin magazine?
Sure, I'm hip. I'm with it.
You
I'm
do
young.
Not read Spin magazine,
I have
Leon.
Read it. I have read it.
Once. In the Niagara Falls
no,
area?
I read Spin magazine. I used to read it. After I outgrew Rolling Stone, I went to Spin.
I don't read Spin magazine,
Spin's
so
a good
I'm no
magazine.
Cooler than you are, but I just needed to call your bluff on that. But you read Esquire and maybe ESPN. You
I've
read
seen, I've
ESPN.
Seen his name. I have read Esquire.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man. Downtown Owl, a novel, but you say this, a woman would like this too.
A woman would like this too. Yeah, one of the characters is a woman. And yeah, he also does This American Life stuff sometimes. That's maybe where
you
heard of Chuck Klosterman.
So here's what you do. You go to audible.com/monkeys and you could sign up today. You get a free book. Could be this or any of their 51,000 volumes. This is a great place to go. We thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys. Do you have to go? Is that buzzer saying you have to go?
No, it's just calls. I'm just very popular. It's my friend Jenny calling. But
you're working?
I love how you say, so you're telling me a woman would like this too. Like there are girl books and boy books.
There are girl books and boy books. You don't think that's true?
No.
Really?
I mean, sure. No, I think it's
there
type
are girl
of reader.
Movies and there are guy movies. I know it's a stereotype, but it's somewhat true. There are chick flicks and there are, you know, guy movies.
I think
there are girl books and there are guy books. Joy Luck Club, girl book. I liked it, but girl book.
You read girl books.
I do. I'm not saying a guy wouldn't.
Well, yeah, I know.
But there are books. There are books that. Well, see, you're very ecumenical. You will read. You read almost anything.
I will. I
would say Cavalier, Clavier. Is it Clavalier and
Cavalier? Yeah,
I would say that's kind of a guy book. Okay. Wonder Boy's kind of a guy book.
Okay.
Maybe not. You loved him, I know.
I did, yeah. I guess, I don't know.
You're not that, you just
I
don't
live
up to... I
think there are certain, there's chick lit. I agree that there are chick, but I don't really
read
that.
Yeah, I mean, come
that.
On. The girly, Sisters of the Ya-Ya Brotherhood, Traveling Pants Society, whatever that
right.
is.
Right,
I am not going to read the Traveling Pants.
Neither am I.
But, so you don't read the girl books either? You only read guy books?
By guy books, you mean good books? Then
well, you're saying the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is not a good book?
I don't. It's not.
It's on
a
Audible.
Literary novel.
It's not okay. I get it. You like literature,
right?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's get to
what
some
is
feedback.
What is the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants about?
I actually think it's about some pants that they have like.
See, right there. No guy's going to listen
There's,
to that. Does your book club only read literature?
No. We read...
Is it all women in your book club?
It's all women in my book club, yes.
Men don't read, you know.
That's what they say, yeah. Marco reads.
I read.
But he's an English teacher, so...
He kind of has to.
Yeah.
I read constantly. I loved reading.
Yeah. I just read that Chuck... listened to the Chuck Palahniuk book,
many
Lullaby.
People, many people that Chuck Palahniuk is a guy.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't like it, maybe because it was a guy.
There's a lot
book.
Of, you know, fisticuffs.
That was, well, in Fight Club, yes, but in Lullaby, it was just some stuff that I didn't want to go.
He's challenging.
Yeah.
He's challenging. I'm not sure I like him. Abby read Choke, which kind of, I was like, Abby, you shouldn't know. What? And she loved it.
She liked a boy book?
I don't know if Choke's a boy. I don't know what Choke is.
Okay, let's
Choke's
listen.
Choke's a postmodern.
Let's read some emails.
Please.
John, who is from myfamilylovesit.com, this was in reference to the episode we did on Instant Amber.
Uh-huh. What was that again? Oh, the Amber Alert. Yeah,
the place where you can put all your kids' information and pictures and stuff and have it available on the web. He says, in New York, we have Operation Safe Child, and the state troopers often have booths set up at local events to register your child for free.
Right.
They fingerprint, measure, weigh, and photograph
they
your kids for
everywhere.
Free.
They do that everywhere. Everywhere.
The info is stored by the state until they're 18, and they give you 2 ID cards to carry with you. The service is tied to Amber Alert and can be used to get out info for your kids.
So that's
minutes.
A good way to do that for free.
But I think the difference between Instant Amber, I think what Matt said was that you have the ability to update it whenever you want.
Yeah, once you enter that
versus like
data
that, you can't change it. So
MyFamilyLovesIt.com, what's that?
His John's blog.
This is really cool. Look at it.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, he emails us a lot.
Yeah.
He's a geek dad.
Backyard ice rink.
Ooh,
he's got a whole page dedicated to the backyard ice rink. He's building one this year. Wow.
Oh, we'll have to have John on once he's
I think
done.
We should.
Email
I think
me,
John needs to come on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody who's building a backyard ice rink, I want to know more.
Okay. Do you remember when we were talking to Dr. Danny and you said you wanted to have a treadmill that was set up next to your World of Warcraft? Jorge Sanchez says, I listen to you guys as soon as the podcast is ready. I have no children of my own yet, but I want to be ready for when and if the time comes.
If we don't scare you off, you're ready.
And he says, anyway, I listened to Leo's comment about the World of Warcraft bike treadmill, and then I found this. Do you have my show notes? It's a link in Gizmodo.com.
I do. to such,
Gizmodo,
just such
treadmill,
a thing?
Treadmills used to play WoW, a verdict, even use... I don't know what the... This is the URL. So look up... if you don't have my links, just look up Gizmodo World of Warcraft bike treadmill.
You know, I think you're reading the
URL?
I think you're reading the comments from the last podcast. You're doing it backwards.
I am? Oh. Yeah.
That's okay. I found it.
Oh. Oh, yeah. 67, Karen yeah, Corners. You're
out,
right.
You're out of order. Treadmills used to play World of Warcraft.
No wonder you didn't have my links last
week. I was very confused, and I'm easily confused, so I just thought it was me. So that's a really interesting
Do you see that Gizmodo article?
I always wondered what it'd be like to run in the real world as Ooh, fast as we run in the virtual world.
I think it's going to be easier.
So this guy is like doing this thing, and it's like he's lifting weights. But now, you know, my health club. Oh, look at that! Is it tied? My health club just put in an arcade, a health arcade.
Not right, the one is, that I go to. The
music.
Other one.
Petaluma. Yeah.
Don't say
what
people
want to come look at me
the
and
place.
Sweat. They can.
They look at you and sweat here.
Yeah, they don't have to. They don't have to go. They don't have to,
they
go
have
on,
to fly to California.
They don't have to fly to California to do that. No, they just put in, I think this is such a good idea, an arcade for kids. And it looks like a regular arcade, but it's got activity games. Dance Dance Revolution. It's got a laser tag. But all of them you have to move around or lift stuff. And I can't wait to get Henry there. I think it's a really clever idea. And it's free if you're a member.
Right.
So you don't have to drop quarters into it.
Which is not free to be a member.
Well, it's expensive. But it's $1,000 a month. But you don't have no quarters.
Yeah.
No, it's not that expensive.
No, it's more than that.
It's not.
No.
It's not. It's not that expensive.
Maybe it seemed like that.
It just seems like a lot. But it's worth it because it'll save you 25 cents.
Right. I think it's like $180 a month or something for a family of five. We looked into it.
Yeah.
But we don't play tennis like you.
It's a tennis club. I don't play tennis. It's got a swimming pool.
Plus,
and it's got an arcade.
Yeah. You have to be a member so that you can hang out with the elite, right?
You're the elite. The elite of Petaluma.
Okay. Lori writes, I enjoyed the baby name show very much.
That was fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to say that my 10-year-old is named Leo.
Oh.
It's a family name. There are lots and lots of Leos in the Southwest where we live. It's a very common name in Mexico, and our favorite Mexican restaurant in Tucson is Leo's Mexican Restaurant.
Oh.
My second son, who is 8, is named Milo. The word Milo, or Mili, means sweet in Russian. We've only met one other Milo here in Tucson, but lots of Miles.
They have a Leo and a Milo.
Mm-hmm, isn't that funny?
What are the chances of that?
What are the chances? Because you said that there weren't very many Leos, but...
There aren't, but I guess there are. I mean, it's kind of if you had a family name, I think it's common.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that in the Southwest it's common.
Yeah, so I didn't know that either.
Yeah,
I forgot to. My friends that I just visited in Ann Arbor, their son is named Royal.
Oh.
And I forgot to ask
That's
the baby
a little
name wizard.
Hoity-toity.
But you know what they said?
What?
Is
the next boy going to be named Prince?
No. It's my friend Daryl, who his father really wanted to name him after the coach of the University of Texas, Daryl Royal, who was the famous coach of the University of Texas. So he was named after him. His mom
his
really
middle did. Name is Royal.
No, his dad wanted it to be Daryl Royal, but his mom refused. And she spelled it differently just to get back at him.
How do you spell it?
He spells it D-E-R-Y-L.
Oh, dear.
Which is, he's always... But then, they named their child Royal. And they've said that it's really more important these days for a child to have a really unique name because of the internet and everything.
I think that's probably true, yeah.
That, like, it's not just like you have five, like, you know, it's not like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to name them Milo because there's only, you know, five.
I didn't think of that.
Because, like, Facebook and stuff. I mean, there's tons of Megan Maroney's on Facebook. I am not one of them, by the way. But,
really? Mm-hmm, I didn't think of that. But getting your domain name, getting a unique URL,
or just
people Googling
searching,
you. I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. How many Henry Laports do you think there are?
Let's see. I'm going to Google it. I don't think it's that common. I hope not.
If there are like four Megan Maroneys on Facebook, I'm sure there are other Henry Laports. Do you think Laporte is a more common, less common than Maroney?
No, they're mostly George Henry. There's somebody named, a German painter named George Henry Laporte.
So if you search Henry Laporte, you don't come up with your site first?
No, because I don't mention him. You know what's the fifth entry? 44 posts tagged Henry Laporte inside Daily Gizwiz. Apparently, I've talked about him on one show a lot. Wow, let me look at Abby Laporte. That's interesting.
Yeah. So
see, they haven't done anything yet. Now, she shows up under my Wikipedia entry, and then, oh, poor Abby. Now I understand why she hates me. So she mentioned this, and I didn't know how she found it. It's the number two entry on if you search for her, is I did a Vox. She was in my office reading. Yeah, it's a video of her reading copy, which I put on Vox. And yeah. She's not happy about that. She said, "Dad, take it down."
No, you can't take things down. Once they're up, they're up.
That's what I told her. I said, "It's there forever."
You can take it down, but... Well, I think that's all the time we have.
And apparently, she's on other people's blogs. AaronC.tumblr.com has a picture of her wearing my Jane hat on his blog.
Yeah, I know. That's a good Imagine picture. Being
It might
your
be hard.
Daughter.
It might be a little hard.
To she's be your
a,
daughter?
She doesn't seem to be too unhappy.
Well, now that everybody's on the internet, it's like her friends are going to Google her, you know, just because that's what people do.
And she'll say, "You were famous."
Yeah. All right.
There she is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess you're done.
I'm done, yeah.
You hear the bell. The bell
tolls. I hear
tolls.
The bell. That's a new bell, right?
That's new. Downtown, they just put up a new bell in Petaluma. I love it.
I love it, too.
Because I know when it's
Does
time
it go
to go home.
All night?
Yeah.
Latest I've heard it is 11. I don't stay up later than 11.
They don't turn it off at midnight. Sorry, you don't. If it's after midnight, you have to guess what time it is.
Yeah.
But it's accurate. Look, it's exactly right. It's it's 6 o'clock chimes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Leo.
Thanks, Megan. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Please tell your friends. Spread the word.
Spread the word.
And we would love to hear from you if you want to email Megan at twit.tv. Mm-hmm. Or don't forget, you can always call us. We love getting the phone calls. 707, you don't have to, but 707-981-4602. That's our Grand Central number. Or go to Megan's blog, jumpingmonkeys.com, and press the call me button. And it's free if you do that. And what happens is Grand Central calls you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of neat.
Yep. And next week we're going to talk to someone from an organization called Cubes and Crayons, which is a work and daycare sort of situation, like work for freelancers to.
Oh, what a
work.
Good idea. And then your kid is with you in the daycare portion.
Yeah, like work. What is that called where you work together in a place? Communal
live
work? No.
Communal work?
Yeah. Like communal working. You know, where freelancers get together like they're at Starbucks, but it's like they rent a space.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Forget what that's called.
But normally they don't have a childcare, that's a very nice idea.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.
Bye.